Chris, this is going to be an easy one, man. Let me introduce to you the 2025 Academy Awards for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Cinematographer, and Best Supporting Actor. Because we're talking movies, we're talking Dune, Part 2. Starring Chris's favorite, Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya, and Rebecca Ferguson. Based on the book Dune by Frank Herbert, and written by John Spates and Denis Villeneuve, who also directed. Chris, may thy knife chip and shatter.
Tighten your grip, Robin, or feel mine on your neck. Sandworms, back again. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of How'd You Like That Movie? As you could probably guess, we're going to be talking about one of the biggest films on the planet right now, Dune Part 2. And if you want, you can actually go back and take and listen to our episode where we talked about the first sandstorm extravaganza, sandworm extravaganza, Dune 1. Scott, why don't you take us into the desert?
All right, so, yeah, that's the thing.
You like that? Going because that's probably about all you're going to like about me talking about this movie this episode, so.
No, I'm going to say, like, when we... just hold on a second. This is getting tight in here. Let me tell you, just this baby alone gives you... it keeps on going out. This baby alone, it's all about the marketing. You just put a little lube right here, and it fits. It's not as tight as you think.
For all those just listening and not seeing... Scott brought his favorite toy from the Dune movie, the sandworm fuck cup.
Let me tell you, you know, like, to see how many people bought that when I went to go watch this, I was fucking surprised. We bought it as a joke. My son wanted it, and I thought it was the funniest.
Your son, air quote, wanted it, right? Yeah.
He did.
Don't worry, daddy will hang on to that for you. Because mommy won't hold on to it for him, so
there you go. All right, you just jump in the shower, let me tell you, you just get some of that fucking Hans Zimmerman music on there, you're like,
you're like, I don't even know what movie I watched, but I enjoyed it, so anyway let's get into this movie.
Yeah, so going into this one, like,
instead of into your cup,
as you were saying, like, when we discussed the first one, it was all right, but it wasn't anything, I think, spectacular. I think with this one, it was my complaint, and it's probably what's going to be on yours. But my complaint is I think this movie should have been longer. Because I think they rushed that third act very, very much, right? Like, if the whole movie is... you know, the confrontation of Fade Rada and, you know, Uso, to have their fight just be like 5 minutes, maybe. Like,
even that whole, like, call it an invasion, call it a rebellion, it wouldn't be an invasion, it'd be a rebellion. Yeah, it was like the whole movie. So the movie is 2 hours and 46 minutes long. And yes, the lead up is the individual confrontation between those two characters. And then the like clashing of worlds between the rebels and the colonizing force. And yeah, it's like, and bang, 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 done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they really did. Because you're thinking, like, well, especially like, I think every conversation that they're building up in these 2 hours, it just seemed like they're like, fuck, this movie's going over. Because, like, if you have Josh Brolin's character for like fucking 2 hours, just being like, I can't wait to get my fucking hands on Batista because he fucked up, like he killed my best friend and shit. And then their conversation is not like 30 seconds. It's like one swipe and then a knife swipe and he's dead.
Yeah, I thought that was also very anticlimactic. I thought there was going to be like a battle royale kind of thing there. And it was just like that. Moving on.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's why I wish like... it was longer. Now we'll never get.
Here's a suggestion. We could take out all this other just like posing on fucking sand dune shots, and then have more fighting. It's like, I actually agree with you that there should have been more fighting. It was anticlimactic. Obviously, I've said that word like three times now. But we could just get rid of what felt like fucking filler cinematography. And I just do want to point out, before starting the show, I did talk to our producer about this. He's read the books. And he, when he saw the film, he said like, oh, some of that stuff is in there because it like works with the book and blah, blah, blah. Great. I did not read a fucking 800-page fucking novel before going to watch this movie. So what you show me is what I get to judge your fucking movie on. Okay, keep going, Scott.
I've also read the book, but...
You fucking nerds. You guys are fucking nerds. Well,
that was my complaint when we said the first one. I'm like, Austin Butler's character should have been kind of foreshadowed in part one, right? Like, even a comment, but there wasn't really anything till after. But I think with this, it's, you know, it's all about getting to, I guess, part three, if they do Messiah or not, which I don't know how that, like, how most people say Dune is unfilmable. I don't know how they're going to do Messiah, because that goes, like, it's not even politics anymore. It's more religion-based, right? So, you know, so I don't know how they're going to kind of rein that in if the first two movies that he's going is all politics. But I think this movie was fucking beautiful to watch. You can't say it's not, right?
No, and I think I said the same thing about the first one. Listen, you know what? This is, I'm going to get right into my quote right away because it kind of really encapsulates everything I feel about this. So David Ehrlich of IndieWire, not only does this movie pick up exactly where the last one left off, it also carries over the strengths and weaknesses that made the previous chapter so astonishing to look at, but stultifying to watch. I mean, we could basically end my position on this show, on this film right now, on that statement. Like, it is gorgeous. Like, what he's doing with his cameras and, like, what he's doing with his blocking and all of that. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Yeah, give him the Oscar for next year's cinematography right now. I mean, he brought back his DOP, Greg Fraser, who has also worked on, like, Batman and Vice and Lion and Foxcatcher. So, very experienced DOP. I believe he won the Oscar for Dune 1, or Part 1. Sure, fine. Give him that Oscar. Craft Awards, great. You had a fucking slow as fuck. I fell asleep multiple times again.
What time did you go watch this movie, man?
Huh?
What time did you go watch it?
3 p.m.
I think you're at the age that you have to hit the 11 a.m. matinees, man. But yeah, we went at night and yeah, we didn't fall asleep. We were
like, my sandworms at night. So
I... like it held my interest, right? Now, I think in terms of my complaints of this film, I think some
you already
of
said
it
it's not
is,
long enough.
Well, that, but also I think going to the, you know, Christopher Nolan school of sound mixing, because there was a lot of times where, you know, they're doing the music while the people are talking and I couldn't even hear what they're saying, right? Because the music was over their speaking, which, you know, that was to me, like, I even asked my son, like, what the fuck are they saying? And he's like, I have no idea. But that's my one complaint. I think Austin Butler fucking killed it in this movie. And I do think he'll get the
Is that
Oscar
why? And that's why you're giving him your supporting actor already.
Yeah, I think he'll get it since he never got it from Elvis. I think now this will be the one that they'll fucking give it to him because he did well. Like,
maybe they'll give it to him tomorrow. On Sunday. The last week, maybe, because we're in the future right now recording this show, right? So,
well, I don't think they can. They'll just be like, fuck it.
They'll be like, you know what? We all just came from Dune 2. By the way, Butler, you here, buddy? Bam. We got an extra Oscar in the back. Here you go.
Yeah. They'll have Warren Beatty being like, and best supporting actor, Austin Butler.
For Elvis. But the cast on this, so you got Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, Javier Bardem, Austin Butler, Josh Brolin, Florence Pugh, David Bautista, Christopher Walken, and Stellan Skarsgård. Oh, and then Anna Taylor-Joy with like a little cameo. That is a fucking insane cast. And you know who the two weakest fucking actors on screen are? Number one, Timothy Chalamet. Number two, Zendaya. Neither one of them. So Zendaya looks the part as far as like, I believe her in her role. At no point do I like Timothy Chalamet is the worst part of this fucking movie. And what I love to hate at is the only times that he has to like raise his voice and be like aggressive. It is the times when he is the least believable in that space. And Zendaya,
are you talking about when he uses the voice
or even when he just is like, now do it. Like he's just even using his voice, but he's trying to be like assertive. It's like, shut up, man. Seriously, go fucking sit the fuck down. And Zendaya is like kind of a wooden fucking actor. And I've made this comment before about Villeneuve. Actually, I'm starting to think I just don't like Denis Villeneuve's movies. Like, they always look really good, but I feel like, especially his like latest stuff, like Blade Runner and those types of things, I don't think he's very good at directing actors or, you know, scripts that he's written. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Because the best acting is actually just coming out of people who are really good at, like, so Florence Pugh is, like, one of my favorite actors. I think she just kills it in every role she's in, regardless of how bad the fucking scripts are or not. And, like, when she's on screen, there's, like, a power in just her presence. And where Timothée Chalamet, who's, like, the lead, is, like, so not, like, he is not cast correctly. Other than maybe because he really, I don't know, resembles the person in the book. I don't know. But like his acting ability is not great. He's got the same acting in every fucking movie he's in. And seriously, Zendaya, again, she's basically just a pop culture icon at this point. Also, not a fantastic actor. I mean, the script is fucking boring.
Well,
yeah.
I was gonna say, like, in terms of your criticism of Villeneuve. Now, it's funny because I had I think we've been doing this way too long because I already know where you're kind of coming from. And there's a quote he did. I don't know if you saw it for this movie.
Is it his quote about, let me see, I think I've got it here. The greatest co-host on a podcast in the history of podcasts is Chris. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I've got that quote too.
Yeah. It's a good thing he didn't say a last name because we'll never know who Chris is. But
well, you just know. It's like Cher, right? You just know. Or Madonna.
No, he goes, his quote is, movies have been corrupted by television. Frankly, I hate dialogue. Dialogue is for theater and for television. I don't remember movies because of a good line. I remember movies because of a strong image. I'm not interested in dialogue at all. Pure image and sound, that is the power of cinema. But that is not something obvious when you watch movies today.
Okay, but again, We've talked about this specific actor, Benicio del Toro. I'm not saying that you need a bunch of dialogue, but even when you're not using dialogue, you need to still have presence in your scene. So what I'm saying is that both Zendaya, specifically though Timothée Chalamet, I don't feel their presence in a scene. They are just there. They are just there being directed around the screen. Like they are not captivating. You can do so much with your eyes. You can do so much with your body language. And again, Del Toro specifically, like, will have lines taken out. He's like, my character doesn't need to say a bunch of shit. So I'm not poo-pooing him for wanting to be more show, not tell. I'm saying that the stuff that he is telling and even some of the stuff that he's showing is kind of fucking pointless. Like, again, very, very beautiful to watch, but not really engaging. I mean, best part of the movie is the fucking sandworms. Those are dope, by the way.
Trust me, I know.
Especially yeah, I know you know.
With some vodka.
make it but, late night.
But the spice is nice. But I think Zendaya I liked in this film, but again, I think it's the last image that, like, the end of the movie is what makes you remember the movie, right? And if you have 2 hours, 15 minutes about their, you know, technically blossoming love, right? Her finally accepting him, falling for him, stuff like that. They're in a relationship. And then,
spoiler for those who haven't seen it because the movie just came out.
It's also a fucking book. It's been done by fucking, if you've seen fucking Lynch's, like the endings are still the same.
Yeah. Like,
so this isn't a fucking spoiler, but like the way with this, it's like, okay, you know, he's technically, you know, seeing the future or whatever. He sees all the possibilities, and he only sees one that's going to get technically something resolved that doesn't kill a lot of fucking people, right? And then in 2 seconds, it's like, okay, this is what's going to happen. He just beat the guy. He's like, I'm now fucking marrying Florence Plute. And then it's just like,
I'll be honest, if I was given that option, I would probably also take that option. So
right, but I'm saying there's no lead up, there's no nothing. If he, like, he knows what's gonna happen, you'd figure he would be breaking it to, you know, his baby mama, like, listen, this is the only way that this is gonna work, right? But just to see the end and then her just like storm off and like, and then just start walking the dunes on her own, even though he's now like the fucking leader, to me that's the thing. Everything ends on I won't say a downer, because it's no Empire Strikes Back,
which, but they keep making reference to, like, oh my god, this is like, because the idea being Empire did a better job than the first film, it's a much better story. I'm like, I guess you could say that about any good sequel that is better than the first one, I guess.
Yeah. So that's the thing, right? Like, from what I remember in the book too, like there was the conversation between Paul and Channy, him literally saying, like, this is what I have to do, like, before it's done, this is what I have to do, but know that you know, she's just my wife by title, like all my heirs are,
yeah, don't worry through. Baby, like, don't worry baby, this is just work, this is just work, yeah, over here. I still love you.
Yeah, there's no wedding night, like me and you are going on the honeymoon, she's gonna be like mowing the sand, right, making sure the worms are fed.
Yeah,
but and that's the thing, from what I remember correctly, like, you know, the big reveal that the spice is the worms, that didn't even fucking happen in this yet, right? Like, I don't remember them ever really saying.
That was breaking news. I did not know that that was a thing. So,
yeah, that's in both movies. Like, in the movie, you find out the fucking spice is the worms. But yeah, I don't remember them actually fucking saying it.
So, I just want to, like, talk a bit about some of the fight stuff that I thought was not done well. So, first off, and again, I'm not even going to, if you're going to, like, comment and be like, yeah, but in the book, that's how it happened. You know what? You know who else would fuck that up was Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick. Don't stick to the fucking book if it doesn't really translate to the picture, because unless we've read the book, it doesn't matter. And that's asking a lot of your audience. So the gladiatorial scene. So first off, I thought it was beautifully shot, the black and white, like all that type of thing. The fact that they're supposed to be showing like how badass this motherfucker is. And so in order to do that, again, spoiler, if you haven't seen the movie yet, you know, they have two kind of basically drugged up opponents and then one that is not. Okay, that's cool all the way till there. Could we maybe get a guy that doesn't just look like some old man? Like, could we have like an actual formidable opponent? And this is why this matters, is because Paul has become this like insurgent leader. He's like badass motherfucker. Plus he's like royally trained from when he was back on his home planet in like hand-to-hand combat and stuff like that. What you need to show is Paul's badass motherfucker. This other dude is a badass motherfucker. And so when they come to clash together, you should not know who's, I mean, you kind of know because it's in a book, but like you should be wondering like who's going to win. The reality is, first off, this guy goes out and like beats up this old man and is like, are you not entertained? And it's like, you beat up an old man. Okay, like, let's can be serious.
But is it the guy, those guys are all from the first movie.
They were.
And they're all part of the, like, Paul, like, the Atreides army. They're all like fucking army guys.
Yes. So maybe use that big dude that he killed like first. Use that guy instead of the old man that he fought. You know what I mean? Anyway, the point is that, because then it shows like, oh, this guy's fucking hardcore. Also, because then Paul fucking shows up and he's getting his fucking ass whipped because, I mean, of course, you got to like lose the beginning of the battle so you can win the end in the film. And I'm like, yo, this guy has just been doing like some serious like Mojahedin fucking stuff for I don't know how long. And then this like guy who's never done anything except fight in the arena and torture people is now on equal footing. You know what I mean? So, for example, when you go and watch Gladiator, you see that Commodus actually is a wannabe, right? Everything he's doing in his training as a gladiator is, like, staged. But, so Max, you're like, oh, Maximus is going to fucking rock this dude. And then you see them, like, wound Maximus right before he goes in the arena. So that sets up, like, how the fuck Commodus can do what he's doing. In this, it's just not believable because, again, you fought an old man and this guy's an insurgent leader and now you're basically on equal footing and then Paul wins because we know Paul wins because he's the fucking protagonist of the story, right? So,
well,
that, so sort of like what you said about the ending, I expected that gladiatorial scene and the one where Paul fights him to go on longer. These are extremely important fucking plot points or resolutions, and they feel rushed so that you can have another fucking 3 minute fucking shot of sand dunes or babies in utero.
I think it's contrast, because if I remember correctly, part one is the Jameis Paul fight, right? Where he has to fight like a Freeman.
So in 6 hours worth of movie, we're only allowed one good fight? Is there a rule?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like that's Paul's like gladiatorial thing was part one. And then part two is, you know, the three against one, but also it's kind of revealed as well that, you know, in these gladiator scenes, like prior, all of his opponents were drugged and the knives were poisoned. So that way he would never get hurt, kind of thing. And him kind of showing what he can do now, kind of thing, was the test or something.
Yes, agree. I understand what you're saying, and I agree that that was the point. But maybe the test shouldn't be like a kindergarten fucking which one of these is an apple. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
but before I forget, and we're talking cast, I just want to know how much the fucking Stalin Sarsgaard make for this movie, because it probably was not enough. Like, I was reading for his makeup, it was 8 hours to apply and 2 hours to take off. So anytime he was in, like, they had to film him, he had to take a pill so he wouldn't have to fucking piss and shit, because that would have fucking took forever to do. Like, imagine that. Like, I'm fucking claustrophobic. I couldn't imagine fucking, like, being in there for, like, fucking 8 hours. Like, just like a fat fuck.
Yeah.
Just be like,
but I mean, really, he basically just floats around and then sits in that pool of goo. So, I mean, outside of that, at least they don't have him doing like wind sprints up and down the stairs or something.
Well, he had to climb up the stairs. Could you imagine like fucking being 8 hours and they're like, okay, and now we're just going to lift you up with this harness and bring you back down. Say, and cut. Okay. 2 hours.
Anyway, my basic takeaway, I don't want to drag this out too much longer, is do see it in the theater. Like, listen, if you like a big spectacle, you do see it. But in my opinion, you're going to be bored. I was fucking bored. I feel like, and this is crazy, so the critics gave this 93%. The audience is giving it 95%. I'm like, did we watch the same fucking movie? Again, yes. Just because it looks pretty, it's still supposed to be like and by enjoyable, I mean like entertaining experience. And it just like, I was like, can this movie just fucking end? Except when the fighting and the sandworms were there. Other than that, I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. Great acting. So far, it's got a...
You just spent fucking 15 minutes of this podcast saying how the acting sucked. And now you're like, great acting.
No, no, no. Great acting by the people that did quality acting outside of the two I've already mentioned, which is Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya. So they made this thing for $190 million. It's done as of our recording, which is a work. This number is going to be like a week wrong. It's already done $211 million. I think it needs to make $500 million to break even. I can't see it not doing that. What do you like? I'm assuming you feel like people are going to continue to go and see this. People are loving this movie. So,
well, that's the thing. Like nowadays, you figure there's what, the 45-day window, right? Until it starts, slowly start pushing them all onto the streaming service, as opposed to Wonka, which is also like Timothy Chalamet, like that thing. Well, that thing just came out on streaming, and like that release before Christmas, right? Like that thing had legs. Like as much as you're fucking saying it, like that thing had legs for a while. So I could see this going, because what major competition does it really have? It has Kung Fu Panda, which it's going head to head for now. So I can see Kung Fu Panda beating it this weekend, but then it overtaking it next. What else is coming out soon?
Nothing until Furiosa, which I am super fucking stoked for Furiosa.
Well, just imagine that too, right? Like Anna Taylor-Joy in Australia Outback or whatever in the fucking desert for whatever doing Furiosa, and then just being like, okay, now you're going to go to another desert.
You're like, while you're at this desert, let's go over here and do this other thing. I think that it was a really smart move to release this film now, because for the exact thing that you're talking about, there's really no other competition. So, like, anybody who's going to the movie at some point is going to go and give this film money. And, you know, it's funny. As much as I dislike the whole Wonka and da-da-da, $625 million against a $125 million budget. So it also made fucking a ton of money. Maybe Timothée Chalamet is the golden ticket.
And that is our wrap for the day. Please like and subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends. If you want to get a hold of us, reach us at the www.howdyoulikethatmovie.com.
See how I ended the show without even like telling you I was ending the show? Bam!
Oh, I loved it.
Boom! Fucking.
I loved it.
Crossover.
Like, ooh. But that's the thing. Like, his shit makes money, man. You can't. Like, his movies fucking make money. The only movies that don't make money are of his are the ones you like. Like that Bone and All shit. They're like, it's like Chris likes this fucking movie. Fucking. That's why I think it's not us. It's you. Because you're like, why is the audience and the critics liking it? It'd be like, it's not us. We like it, right? We understand what they're trying to do.
You can only have one of these things in life. You can either have Chris like your movie or you can make money. Choose.
Yeah.
But choose wisely.
Production by Rod Shaver, Vader Monkey Productions.